Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine for this March 6th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff here, and we are joined right now by our good friends from Encourage. In studio, we have Betsy Wood with us. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Good to see you as always. And Dawn Newman.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Dawn. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We also want to welcome in some other guests for us. Joining us on the phone, we have Joanna C. and Jess Remington. Good morning. Oh, good morning, ladies there.
Yes, yes. Good morning.
Hello, Joanna C. and Jess Remington joining us on the phone. Thank you so much for joining us, you two. How's everybody doing?
Great. Thank you for having us. Doing great this morning.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. And really do appreciate the time. I'm looking forward to talking with you both. We're going to do that in just a second. Betsy, Dawn, I was wondering if you guys could give us a brief intro and help us, connect, encourage in our community and where we're going to be going with the conversation today.
Oh, definitely. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I'm so pleased to have Jess and Joanna join us today. They are the authors, co-authors of Beloved Economies, and Encourage has been so honored to be part of one of the many collaborators of the book with Jess and Joanna. And they have done over 7 years of research putting this book together. And you talk about Encourage is about philanthropy, about the love of people. And it's not just what we do, but how we do things. And this book, Beloved Economies, really relays that message so well. And I'm hoping that Jess and Joanna can give a little bit of background about themselves and how they met as well. But Jess and Joanna reached out to Encourage many years ago in part of the Tribune Building project that we were working on at the time, and the collaboration and the research and the getting the community involved in a different way of how we can build economy in the area. And so that's where we first started working with Jess and Joanna. And they came to Encourage as visiting scholars with the Stanford University's Global Project Center. And they connected with us at that time. So if Jess and Joanna, if you don't mind giving a little bit of background, or Dawn, if you have anything that you want to share as well.
Yeah, if you wanted to add anything, Dawn.
Sure. I think to continue on that journey, actually in 2019, this work led them to work closely with Encourage and actually with more than 100 of our residents in co-creating a toolkit for gathering information in support of our region and having a sustainable community. So that work then led into the book as well. So we've worked with them on multiple fronts.
Very cool. Joanna, Jess, I want to tell you right out the gate, the great people at Encourage let me read your book and gave me a copy that I found out was my copy. So thank you both again, and thank you, Encourage. I don't want to lie to you guys or the audience. Like, I read the book inside and out. I read through the majority, quite a bit of it. I will read the whole thing because it really pulled me in. As a writer myself, I'm frustrated by you two. You're both very good authors, and that frustrates me. I wanted to start off right out the gate, getting to know you two a little bit. Can we do that? Can we get your origin story real quick? Joanne, I'll start with you.
Sure, and thank you for what you said about the book. And it takes a village to write a book, so not a lot of support. I grew up in California in what has since become Silicon Valley, and I saw the transformation of my town as Silicon Valley began to boom in my young and teenage years, and it was very interesting and exciting, and it also left me with a lot of questions about who was benefiting and who was being left out from the kind of, quote, you know, progress and development happening. And I also had a formative experience early on the California border, again, kind of thinking about what is our current system, who does it let in and who does it keep out in terms of shaping what development and economy is. And I think my family was supportive of me following those questions. And I worked on more social justice-oriented work for many years in groups trying to stop really destructive projects like huge dams and mines that threaten their community, and thinking mm-hmm. about different alternatives that could be more of a, you know, genuine win-win. And I guess, long story short, looking at those questions is what planted the seeds of the kind of root question behind the Beloved Economies book for me. Mm-hmm. Isn't there a way actually that isn't just, you know, just, but is actually just the smarter way to do business and genuinely mm-hmm. better for all?
Feels kind of full circle for you a little bit, from that little girl noticing those things to the adult now being able to talk about them.
Yes, it does.
That's very cool. Thank you for sharing that, Joanna. Jess, how about yourself?
Sure. So I grew up in rural Massachusetts in a small town in a working class family that ran small businesses. From first a video tape store before Blockbuster came in and decimated us, to doing some deep sea fishing, to then carpentry, and grew up in a family that was trying to make it work through a variety of different endeavors. And you know, the focus in my family growing up was to get me to school, basically, and get me to college. And was first-gen college. And I had this really interesting set of experiences once I left my small town, of kind of reflecting on the way in which I had seen my family operate in small business culture, and what it is to be a small business in a small, to run a small business in a small town, and how much of that is based on relationship. And in a way, like, even though I don't think my family thought about it this way, practices of sharing decision-making authority. And because, you know, your employees are your neighbors, your clients are your neighbors. So there's a way of having to work together that is less anonymous. And then when I started pursuing education outside of where I came from, and saw that a lot of what I was told, like, was how the economy worked, or what was, you know, proper business, actually didn't make a lot of sense to what I saw working where I came from. And got involved in economic justice work, largely because I think I just saw a lot of injustice growing up around the economy as it related to my community and my family, and wanted to understand more what shared liberation looked like when it came to class as well as racial justice, and what that means for all of our work within that as a collective in this country. And then became really interested and obsessed, basically, with how do we make the internal operations of our organizations, whether they're nonprofits, philanthropy, or small business, like the background I saw growing up, how do we make them operate with the future we want? And why are we just copying and pasting practices, you know, from an MBA without examining, like, what's actually working in small towns and what's actually working in big towns, but in our communities, our human communities? So that's what brought me to the work of Beloved Economies.
Thank you both so much for sharing that. That is really cool, really interesting, and I think very really adds to the conversation here, because we have two people from literally the opposite coasts, and when we're talking economy, we have to talk about the whole economy. It's going to be different for every zip code. It's going to be a little different for every area. So being able to have that kind of context to bring into the conversation is fantastic. And your guys' names sound really good together, Joanna, Jess. It just sounds really good together. It sounds like a pop band. It really does. It flows really nicely. So that worked out well too. And you're both incredibly.
That's why we became friends.
Yes. It's got to be. It's why we always do. Not only incredible authors, but very insightful also. And very, very much appreciate that part of being able to bring things to this conversation and to the book. And I want to get into the book with you a little bit more. We've got to take like a minute commercial break. And I don't even want to be honest with you. I just want to keep talking to you both. But we'll take that break. We'll come back. And I'd like to find find out a little bit more about the book and how it ties into our area here. We'll do that with our friends from Beloved Economics, the authors of that, and our friends from Encourage right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here at WFHR on this March 8th. We are speaking with our friends from Encourage. We have both Betsy and Dawn with us, and we have Joanna and Jess with us, the authors of Beloved Economics. And that's what we're going to dive into right now. And for you two, the first question I have is, what is the major takeaway from all the research behind the book, and why is it so timely right now?
Well, I'm happy to jump in here first, Joanna, and pass to you.
Sure, go for it.
So I think the major takeaway from my point of view is that the way we work matters, and how we work in our organizations and businesses and companies makes up the economy. So if we want to change the economy alongside levers that are more top-down and all the important work and labor organizing or thinking about things that the government can do, both nationally and regionally, for economic interventions. Alongside that, it's also important to not forget that we as workers, we as staff, we as community residents that interact with our organizations and businesses can change the economy as well, by changing the way in which we operate together, because the path we're walking creates the future, right? It creates the next day, creates the organizations we are within. And what we found in our research is that that's a lever we can pull, and that one of the most effective ways to pull that, to have greater economic resiliency and to build perhaps the economies we all most want, that could feel like love, that could take care of us, is to think about sharing power differently. How do we share and work together and collaborate in ways that really democratize our ability to design and dream and make decisions together?
I think the power part of the conversation is so interesting, and I think it's so noteworthy too, because I don't think that's something that we always think about, but it definitely comes into play with this. It's a really interesting point. Thank you for that. Joanna, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I was just going to say, Dawn and Betsy mentioned it was quite a while ago that we first met, so we started the research in 2015, and we didn't know at the outset it was going to go on so long, but because it did go on for 7 years, we saw this surprising trend in the data over time that the different groups that we were looking at that had really profoundly departed from business as usual in their respective fields in ways that shared power differently, and were being successful despite their non-business-as-usual ways of operating, they were creating ripple effects. They were changing norms in their sector. They were changing what could be on the table as policy, all kinds of things like that. And that's what really sparked this takeaway that Jess was speaking to of, reimagining on our teams how we work together is a powerful lever for change. And James, you asked, why is this timely right now? And in our conversations, not just with folks involved in the book, but also readers and people who are starting to respond to the book and broader campaign around it, this, like right now, 2023 is a really ripe time to be thinking about this, because we're all, starting to emerge from the pandemic, thank goodness, have a bit more bandwidth. But it is still very fresh that we all just witnessed, wait, we actually can change the rules of business as usual, like en masse overnight. Right. We have more latitude than we think we do to change how we work. And what if we now seize that and, lean into that latitude we have and get really imaginative with our teams about how we want to make our work and our little workplaces more of an example of the future economies we want to be a part of.
Both great feedback, great comments and great feedback from both of you. You mentioned you started working on this in 2015, certainly a different time, a different world. And it's so funny to say that because it wasn't even 10 years ago. But it's a different climate at the time when you start this book. In that process, of course, as you mentioned, we've had a pandemic. But through that, one of the, I believe, silver linings to come out of that is we've seen much more the power going to the employee. Much more of that. We see people nowadays, instead of just wanting to do a job until they retire, I want a career. Or instead of just, you know, maybe I make a buck or two less, but I'm my own boss. I have an Etsy shop. I'm on eBay. We're seeing much more independence from employees and a lot of that. Do you think that that has, that those two, what you're talking about there and the fact of that happening, that there is a correlation there?
Yes, I think there's a huge opportunity.
Opportunity is a better word. Yeah. Good thing I don't talk for a living.
No, what you said is exactly correct. I think. I mean, it depends on what we do with it, right? I think it's a moment for collective organizing. It's a moment to ask ourselves, what is our expectation of work? What's our expectation of the workplace as workers? And the more options there are, right, the more it can feel like we can demand more. You know, people kind of like make fun of these trends, right, of like quiet quitting and let's say the Gen Z TikTok phenomena of the soft life of just wanting to like ease into and live into like, let's take a nap. You know, I just want to build my life to feel like it cares for me. Right. But also like, wow, why is that being kind of giggled at or whatever? Like that's, there's a primary core concept there of like, why are we not asking and demanding of our economy and therefore our workplaces, a world experience day to day that cares for us and allows us to nourish not only our basic needs, but to really allow our families and our communities to thrive. And that's not, there is enough money around the table to make that happen, right? So it's just about how we structure ownership and how we think about where the benefits from our companies and organizations are going. And that's, you know, it seems like the more we demand that we open up the table to include all voices and all people, not only in creating better quality by having everyone's ideas around the table, but also in making decisions about, you know, where do we want the benefit that we're creating as workers to go? And let's make sure those returns are coming back to us too. I think that what you're speaking to is giving us more latitude to maybe wake up to demanding different.
We're talking about the book Beloved Economics, Transforming How We Work from Jess Remington and Joanna L.C. And what did I say?
It's Beloved Economies.
Beloved Economies. Did I say economics? I'm so sorry. I apologize. Lucky this isn't live. I can fix it all. It is live. Never mind. Wisconsin Rapids features strongly in this book. Rapids, we love the fact that it's represented in this book so much. Can you tell us about how you all became connected to Encourage and the residents here? We've touched on this a little bit and everything. Is there any more details of that we can tell the audience? Because I think it's a very cool relationship that was formed here, that was created kind of organically.
Sure. I can hop in first on this one, Jess. So we, early on in the research in 2015, one of the initial questions we started looking at is we asked, are there, quote, bright spots? Are there shining examples of groups, whether they're companies or nonprofits or government agencies, whatever type of group they are, that is departing from business as usual and really casting a wider net in terms of who's around the table making decisions, shaping solutions, shaping products, and being really successful at doing that. And we did kind of, we asked tons of different people in tons of different sectors that question, and three different groups from very different points pointed us to what was happening at the time with Encourage. And it was the beginnings, the Tribune building, the design process had just recently happened that engaged so many residents. And we reached out to the Encourage team, who very graciously responded for an interview. And we were just riveted by hearing what was happening, both what was happening with the process, what the process was in response to, and we also just felt a real kindred connection with a number of folks on the team, and it felt like we were all
thinking about some similar big questions. And we had the opportunity to visit in person. And then Don mentioned we actually decided to collaborate and roll up our sleeves together on a project in subsequent years, and we're able to meet and learn from and work with a lot of residents. And those conversations that we had over the years were really pivotal in Jess and my thinking about connections between changing the way we work, changing our economy, shifting our economy from one of extraction and often community wealth extraction to communities that are thriving and being replenished by the work. And just feel really thankful from what we learned and the brave and thoughtful questions folks were willing to share with us again and again.
More data.
I don't know if you'd add anything to that.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said.
More data is going to lead to better results and better answers. And so, something that I think Jess was touching on a bit, too, with representation, more people being brought to the table. Instead of just this and this person that live in these bubbles, we've got all these people coming to the table. You have all that data, all that information, and it's going to make our economy stronger just by the law of math, of science, of these things, let alone making our community stronger, more connected. You have a great example right here in this conversation. You have two people, again, from different sides of the country who come together to do this book, and then you guys, you start working with the Gang from Encourage here in central Wisconsin, and we have different parts of our country coming together to help our economy, the whole economy. It's how this stuff happens. It's how we make a better world for ourselves and for our kids going
forward.
I purposely did this and waited to the end of the conversation to bring up something that would take us like a half an hour to talk about, because we are talking about a book, and I want to encourage people to read the book. So I wanted to bring up the seven practices. It's one of the things that I thought was very noteworthy in the book, and something that I thought was really cool. What can we tell people about the seven practices and encourage them to read the book, of course?
Well, I mean, so one of the really interesting outcomes of the research was we didn't know whether the organizations and companies we've been following over these 7 years, initially, we didn't know if they would have commonalities amongst them. We knew that they'd all changed their way of working in some way that was producing an impact and change that they really valued as teams, as communities. And when we dug into that together as a shared community of practice, what we called a co-learning community, we realized that there was some really striking commonalities. And in fact, it was almost there was like a code for how to change work to be in alignment with the things that these organizations and businesses wanted to value for the economy that they thought was possible. And there were seven practices that they all did. They had different terminology for it. They came from diverse industries, but they all shared decision-making power, had relationships. They reckoned with history. They seeked difference. They sourced for multiple ways of knowing. They trusted their time, and they prototyped early and often. So those are the seven practices. There's information online about them. You know, you don't have to read the whole book to learn about them. We just want this information out there. And also, the book has not only a lot of information about Wisconsin Rapids and Encourage and what we saw about these practices and this community, and also communities around the country. So if you want to dig into it, go get the book.
Nicely done. Nicely done. If people want to know more about not only the book itself, but, you know, your guys' work and some of those things, is there where can we send people to learn more?
Sure. Folks can go to belovedeconomies.org. And there's info about the book, the campaign, folks behind it there. Mm-hmm.
It's a great website, by the way. You guys do a great job with that page. It's a very nice website.
Oh, thank you.
It's been really good talking with you, too. Thank you so much for the time. There is a catch. You did too good. We're going to have to bring you back sometime. You were too good of an interview. It's your own fault. You're too good. So you have to join us again sometime. Please do. And keep up the great work, you two, whether it's together or not. Keep up the great work. You're both great writers, great minds.
Thank you so much. And thank you to the Encourage team for creating this opportunity, and just we're so thankful to be
be connected to Wisconsin Rapids and the community there.
You guys want to come to town, please feel free to. We'd love to have you. Thank you both for the time again. You take care.
Thank you. We've been around a lot, so we'll definitely come
back. Yeah, come on back. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the time. And for Betsy, Dawn, I wanted to thank you guys not only for setting up the interview there and us getting the chance, our audience to get the chance to get to know them and talk with them a little bit, but certainly for the work that Encourage does for our community. These two noticed something that we here in town have been noticing for a long time, that Encourage puts back into the community. Encourage believes in raising up our community, and we appreciate that very much. Also, getting to talk to great people like that. That's fun, too. It's always fun. If people want to know more about some of the things that are going on with Encourage or ways to work with Encourage or bring ideas to them, any of the above, how can they reach you guys?
They can reach us through our website, encouragecf.org. They can email us at hello@encouragecf.org or call us at 715-423-3863. We'd love to hear from them.
Betsy, Dawn, thank you both very much for the time. Say hi to the rest of the gang and Encourage for us, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, and more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.